Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to Stagecraft, Variety's theater podcast, bringing you backstage and behind the scenes with the stars, creators, and industry leaders bringing Broadway and the theater back to life. I'm your host, Gordon Cox. On this episode of Stagecraft, I'm talking to Jocelyn Bio and Martina Mayoke, two playwrights who both had new plays interrupted by the pandemic, and now, 18 months later, are seeing them pick up where they left off. Bio is the writer of the off-Broadway hit Schoolgirls, or the African Mean Girls play, as well as Merry Wives, the Harlem set adaptation of The Merry Wives of Windsor that reopened Shakespeare in the Park this summer. Her latest, Nollywood Dreams, was in rehearsals and a week away from starting previews when the COVID-19 pandemic shut down theaters across the country. The pandemic also hit the pause button on Sanctuary City, the latest play by Mayoke, which had run only a handful of performances before it went dark. Mayoke won the Pulitzer Prize for her play The Cost of Living, and she last spoke with me on Stagecraft just after Sanctuary City went dark in March 2020. Now, both Sanctuary City and Nollywood Dreams are resuming their long-delayed runs, and Mayoke and Bio are both in the virtual studio with me to tell us about writing during the pandemic, mourning a production they thought might be lost for good, and now, celebrating its rebirth. Hi, Jocelyn and Martina. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
You are both at different stages in the journey of watching a play that you saw paused for a really long time sort of get back up and running again. Martina, you in particular, your show, Sanctuary City, just as we're recording this, just opened the other night. I wonder if you could just tell us a little bit about what opening night was like for you finally to experience after so long a delay.
I think I was the fucking best. Yeah, we were on a boat. We were on a fucking boat, and it was the best. We weren't sure if we were gonna what opening night in quotation marks was gonna be. We were like, we're not gonna have a party. We're gonna try and be as safe as possible. But we were able to basically just do another show. Everyone checked their had their vax cards checked and was wearing masks, and then we were able to celebrate everybody outdoors on a boat, which was awesome. Frying pan, highly recommend.
I know, I was there, so.
Yeah, exactly.
Was it a good party, Jocelyn?
It was. It felt great for many reasons.
Yeah.
It was strange that people were like, how has it been to open? And I still feel like we sort of haven't opened. I don't know, because I'm just waiting for the other shoe to drop, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like, it felt great, but also just different. I still haven't quite figured out what that difference is, but it did feel different.
Yeah. And this is the, from what I can tell, it seems like basically the same production that was running for, you know, however many previews before it shut down. It's the same cast, and same director, obviously, and the same set. Is it actually the same physical set?
It is literally the same set that was 18 months ago in the Lortel. It didn't, you know, all the dust has remained and everything is, we walked in into a little time capsule of March 2020. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And I think there was a note in the program that said even the programs, the playbills are the same, like they sat in box for 18 months.
I love that. I was like, keep it green.
That's right.
And Jocelyn, where are you in your show, Nollywood Dreams?
We are going to start rehearsal in a few days, top of next week. We are in this, it's been a very odd process. We will have the same cast coming back. We'll have everything, you know, coming back. But unfortunately, our set did have to get redone because there were things that we were using in the set that were rented, like some motors and different things like that, that just because of how long the shutdown was, had to be returned. So we are in the weird, unfortunate place of having to rebuild our set. But everything else was, you know, the same. You know, according to everybody at the theater, it just, when they walked into the space, it just kind of looked like the rapture had happened. Like scripts still opened, you know, water bottles were still sitting there, pencils, like it's just, you know, just everyone had disappeared. And that's kind of what this year has been. So it feels like a great analogy.
Yeah. I wonder if we could rewind a little bit to talk a little bit about March 2020 and sort of what that was like for both of you. Martina, your show had been up for, I think it was like about a week, right, before in previews, before the shutdown. And Jocelyn, if I'm not mistaken, yours was about to start previews, maybe the week after.
Yeah, we shut down the day before we were going into tech. Right. So everything was ready.
Yeah, you were ready to go, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so what was that? That it's such a sort of big build to the big moment of culmination, and that to have that sort of taken away. Tell me about what that was like for you.
I mean, it was pretty devastating at first. When we got the call, I went like right into the bargaining phase of grief, and I was like, what if we just call Jesse Green right now and like have him just come real quick and see the show? We called some of the critics because it felt like we'd been up for a few days. We were still about 10 days away from opening. And it felt like if we didn't have some like written proof that this play had existed, this production had existed, it would have been like it never happened. And so I was so afraid of just losing all of the work of everybody. And I was also, I think the most devastating thing was I had had such a lovely group of people that were working on this play. And I was just sad that I wasn't going to see them the next day. It was like, I'm going to get to work the next day. I had such a wonderful time. And so it kind of broke my heart to not get to be with everyone and to have the ritual of celebrating an opening and then a closing. And then more of the world continued to crumble. And as the pandemic went on, I think we all probably adjusted over 18 months. Had different feelings about it, but initially it was pretty devastating. And I basically went to sleep for like 2 weeks and, you know, just doom scrolled the news. So like not healthy, not good. A lot of things were going on.
Yeah.
I agree with that. I think devastation is exactly right. That's exactly what I felt. I think because it probably felt even compounded by the fact that like Nollywood Dreams is a play that I wrote even before, you know, the play that kind of like put me on, I would say, which was Schoolgirls. I wrote Nollywood Dreams years before that. So it was the play that I had been dying to get produced for at that point now, 8 years. Now it'll be nine. So I just couldn't understand why it was like roadblock after roadblock. And then right before I was about to get, you know, to the finish line, a freaking global pandemic showed up. It was the devastation and the confusion were mixed in one because I just couldn't understand why all of that was happening at the same time. But I think I probably slept for 2 weeks too. Shoot, I don't know. You know, I had a birthday in that time. Like,
oh my gosh,
2 weeks. So it was like, okay, we just had a Zoom birthday. It was like, it was just an odd time. But yeah, a lot of sadness for sure.
There was this we're gonna be back soon idea that kept being We just kept talking about the fact that, like, maybe we'd be back in a month, maybe we'd be back in 2 months. And so there was this, like, weird roller coaster of, like, hope and then disappointment, like, the over and over. And after a while, I was like, let's just maybe this play will come back, maybe, but, like, let's say, like, 2025. And if it happens earlier, I'd be pleasantly surprised, but I just can't deal with the up and down, like, emotions. But it was just like, no one knew what to do as well. Right. So we were like, I don't know. It did not think it was going to be 18 months.
Did you know all along, or were you confident all along that it would be back? And if so, when? Like, was there ever a point when you thought, I have to let this go for now? And it sounds like, Martina, you sort of got to that point. You sort of said, okay, I'm going to assume it's going to happen at some point, but I can't place any weight on the timeline.
I mean, I was like, there was hope, but I don't know that there's any guarantee. There's a part where I was like, will theater die? Like, I don't, you know, will we just be done with it? So there wasn't, sure. I didn't feel like a guarantee until maybe that was what the opening night kind of confusion was, where I was like, is this actually happening? Because I have been planning for theater to never happen again. Like, I don't know. But yeah, I think everything was kind of tentative. Everything was tentative. Life was tentative.
Yeah.
I agree with that. I mean, you know, look, I'm a New Yorker, so I'm just like, pessimism is in my, you know, blood, you know, like, so I think I had fully just resigned that, like, the show was actually never coming back. I just thought it was never going to come back. And, you know, hoped that I would be proven wrong. But I went through actually the grieving process of, like, the show's just not going to happen. So when things kind of started to shift, you know, I was tempering my optimism at that point, because I really didn't know. And because I also had the experience of doing a play for an outdoor theater, and knew all of the, you know, challenges that came with, I was confused about how we could do this, you know, for real indoors. But I'm glad that we've all, you know, been trained in some version of COVID compliance and know how to move forward. So yeah, it's still an odd experience to be sitting in a audience with a bunch of people and we're all wearing masks and we're just like, you know, you can even hear how it muffles laughter, you know, mm-hmm. just like even in that way. But yeah, the spirit of theater lives on, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you keep in touch with the cast and creative team throughout all this? I know, Jocelyn, you actually worked with the director of the show that of Nollywood Dreams on Merry Wives. Yeah. But how much did either of you keep in touch with, you know, the actors you were working with or other folks on the team?
We did like a fake opening on Zoom. So the day that would have been our opening, which I think was March 23rd, we like got together on Zoom, and I think I wore my like opening dress on a tiara. I was like, I had a coupe glass. So I was like, I'm gonna fucking start celebrating. So yeah, we kept in touch, and I've been working with Rebecca on another project where actually we got to like practice our COVID compliance. There was doing a workshop with her in London on the Gatsby musical, and it was like testing 3 times a week. So when we came, I did that a month before starting rehearsals for Sanctuary City. And so when I came in, I was like, oh, I know this, 3 times a week, like spit in a vial, like get your nose poked, like keep your mask on. So I got to like have the strange, like, what is it to rehearse a play with masks on? A little bit before.
Yeah.
Similarly, we threw a Zoom party for what would have been our opening night too, that I DJ'd. It was a good time. But for the most part, we all just kind of kept in touch via, you know, email. There was just some people who like it was a tough time for them. So they kind of went underground for a little bit. And have only just recently in the last few months have started to, you know, reemerge from, you know, what I'm sure was pretty devastating for them in their own way. You know, at least for us as writers, I think we have the privilege that we can still be able to keep working in some way, in some capacity, keep creating, because that's, you know, what we do. But I think if you're an artist who's just an actor and is just excited about diving into new work that, you know, us writers create, it really puts you in a really difficult place when something like this happens, because you kind of feel like rendered useless. And I understood how difficult that could be for some people. So we tried to keep in touch and keep spirits high. But yeah, it was tough.
Yeah. And that actually leads me into my next question, which is what kind of writing were you able to do during the pandemic? Martina, you mentioned the project that you were working on with the director of Sanctuary City, Rebecca Frecknall. What sort of things? So I imagine you were working on that. And were there other things also? Tell us about what kept you busy.
Adaptations, actually. I found it really difficult to create something in during the time that is at the time. And so I, for whatever reason, like I appreciated having like a co-pilot, a co-writer, even if it was like the ghost of F. Scott Fitzgerald as my, like, you know, to be able to respond to something that I, that was of a different time. Most of the things I was adapting were from, you know, obviously had been written before the pandemic. So I was able to take whatever I was feeling and kind of put them into those things without the pressure, I guess, of having to make a statement about the now. I still don't know exactly. But like for like The Great Gatsby, for example, like that was a story that is set 4 years after the end of a world war and the end of a pandemic as well, where, you know, there's a cultural feeling of survivor's guilt and sort of like, well, fuck it, we'll just drink ourselves and, you know, like we could die anytime, so we might as well enjoy our lives. That the parallel of, there was some kind of solace I found in the parallel of that. But I haven't like been a brave person and have written something that is of the time yet. I think I still need to kind of process what I'm
processing. Yeah. How far along is Gatsby? Is there a timeline for a production yet? I know you said you were working on the workshop.
I have to find out if we can like say, but I have a draft and there's I think there's about 20-ish songs already written.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
I'll find out if I can like say that. Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
So I got permission from the producers or whatever. Yeah.
And Jocelyn, you also did an adaptation. You worked on Merry Wives this summer. Did you find something similar to Martina in terms of what working on an adaptation allowed you to do?
Yeah, well, it was my first time working on any sort of adaptation at all. I did not have any relationship or knew of Merry Wives of Windsor in any real way. Like, I knew it was a play that, you know, Shakespeare wrote, but I don't think I ever read it. And once I read it, I kind of understood why it's not done very often. You know, it's not an easy play. It's like, so it's so classist and nationalist and sexist, you know, just all the, it's all of it. But, you know, Saheem, my director and really collaborator on a lot of things, had a really great idea for how to kind of remix it and place it in modern day. But we did actively decide to just not engage with any of, you know, the COVID of it all, other than one particular section towards the end of the play where I rewrote a monologue to kind of reflect all the people who had passed on and that we had lost in that time. That felt appropriate to the moment, and just appropriate to what we had been experiencing, you know, in the last year too. We also went, you know, this was going to be an all, you know, Black cast, kind of really reflecting the diaspora in a really unique and specific way, to not have any acknowledgement of also the racial reckoning that we've gone through in the last, you know, year and a half felt silly too. So we wanted to be able to infuse that, but not feel like it was, you know, banging people on the head. So it was literally, you know, nice way to jump back into, you know, theater. I also had the good fortune of being able to work on a film script. I'm doing an adaptation of Once on This Island for Disney Plus. So I also got to escape in my own way to a beautiful tropical island in the Caribbean. And that was nice since I couldn't go there in real life.
I'll have more with Jocelyn and Martina right after the break.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. Suf's The Original New Musical from Shana Taub is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
And now, here's more with the playwrights Jocelyn Bio and Martina Mayok.
I know you've both done work for screen projects, and I just wonder if that has the work that you've done for those projects for different media impacted the way you think about what you do on stage and how you do it?
I don't know. I think I feel a lot. I still feel the same wonderful freedom when I'm creating theater that I don't always feel like I have for film and TV. And I mean, that's just by virtue of like structure, you know, the medium, it's like built for like, you know, producers' hands to kind of be very involved. Lots of notes, you know, lots of ideas being thrown at you. Whereas I do think that like, you know, there's a real love and respect for the playwright's voice and intention in theater. So I still feel that wonderful freedom, and you know, I hang on to that when I can get to it. But you know, film and TV pays the bills, you know. Like that's just, you know, what it is. And every now and then you might look up on a project or something that is moving the needle forward, you know, culturally. But you know, those are few and far between. So I just get what I can out of both mediums, and you know, try not to go crazy in the process.
Yeah, I heard same on the like the freedom and like I just know the theater world. I feel more comfortable in it. So like there's, it's just the amount of years that I've been in the theater versus what I doing television or film. That like, yeah, I'm just more comfortable in it, and so I can feel like I can take risks and know that it's like going to be. The words that I write are going to be the words that are spoken, which is really nice. But like the TV, I watched TV as a kid. Like I was a latchkey kid, like watching, you know, like Full House and Family Matters. But like I have not, like it's been I've missed a lot of the golden age of television. So during the pandemic, I was like, oh man, TV's pretty fucking good. Like I got to, oh my God, it's pretty good. Good shit. And so I got to watch more of it. And I was like, oh, it's pretty good. It also sort of was able to read film scripts and read pilot scripts and I loved the school of feeling like I was able to be in school and learning about how what you're able to do the actual possibilities that you have in you know TV and film that are harder sometimes to pull up maybe it's not impossible I found some opportunities that I may not have realized in terms of like how to tell certain stories, and so yeah, I did a film as well, and a pilot and a series that were kind of on my that were my own sort of projects.
And what was it like when you to return creatively to this to these projects, these stage projects, Sanctuary City and Nollywood Dreams, that you had sort of put away for a while and put in a drawer? What did it feel for you to, you know, take it out of the drawer again and think about the fact that it is now actually going to happen?
I hadn't taken it out of the drawer until like I showed up and I was like, oh, my script printed out. Like I don't know if it was just because I would have been too sad. I didn't fuck with it. I just waited to see what maybe I was guarding my heart as well of like, maybe this isn't going to happen. And I just can't do the roller coaster of hope and disappointment again. And we did, like, a few weeks before we started rehearsal, we did a Zoom reading of the play just to kind of bring us back into the world. And I had worried that, will I have fallen out of love with this play? Will it no longer have an impact on me? And will I feel like it's, like, just done? And I was pleasantly surprised to learn that it hadn't, and that the love of it was still there. And I really wanted to, I remembered what we had made, and I then just desperately wanted to get back into the room and be able to bring it to more people. So yeah, it was like we had our first rehearsal, and the actors came in off book and off blocking book. And I was just like moved. So moved because of the care and the work that they had put into it in times when we were not together. Love abounded. I was really happy to be back.
Did you do any rethinking, rewriting? Has the play changed at all between what we saw in March 2020 and what we're seeing now?
I must have just tightened the second part of it, which we had worked so much on the first part because it's so technically much more difficult to sort of pull off. Yeah. That I think probably we weren't able to have too much time to work on the second part. So it's just like trims and cuts and trying to make it as tight of a storytelling as it could be.
Yeah. And Jocelyn, have you done any work on Nollywood Dreams? Is this the script that you wrote 8 years ago and 9 years ago?
Yeah. I mean, I'm a notorious rewriter, and I kind of, you know, take apart and put back together again over and over and over again. And I've done that a lot with this play over the last now 9 years. But I think I'm in the same space Martina just mentioned of, like, I'm actually afraid to reread the last draft that I had, because I had done significant rewrites last March. And I'm a little afraid to, like, know if this play even means anything anymore now, you know? I guess, like, my stance is always that I want to, infect joy and laughter, but also have people learn something about the, like, Black immigrant experience, particularly the African experience, at the same time. So it's like, you know, levity with a purpose. But I do wonder, like, you know, if this play will still mean the same thing after what we've been through. So I'm actually a little afraid to reread it. I haven't yet. And I think I'm just gonna wait until the first day of rehearsal and then, you know, either be pleasantly surprised or flip a table. We'll see what happens. I'll circle back.
And Martina, have you found that your show lands with you differently now, or maybe with audiences differently? I know you only were just starting to experience the show with audiences in 2020, but do you feel like, does it play any different now after what we've been through?
We had so few previews, and they were so early. So it seemed like, I mean, people were still kind of responding in the same places. Now it feels like the thing that I'm watching in the play is how people are caring for one another, particularly in a time and a place where and circumstances where, like, the place in the country that they're in does not necessarily want them to thrive. Right. And so I was always. I guess aware that might be in the play, but it has kind of come more to the surface. Like, when the characters in the play are kind to each other, I think it doesn't break my heart, but I guess it just, like, I feel it more deeply in my heart and soul. That's just me personally, but I don't know about audiences.
What is it like watching those actors, as you pointed out, lived with those parts for, you know, so long, and, you know, they knew the show and knew all the blocking and everything. And how do you feel like their performances have shifted or deepened in that time?
Oh, they are great. They the two young actors, like, they came back and I was like, you're better actors. Like, they are. You know, Austin's always been amazing. Like, then so have they, but there was just, it was a deeper performance. Like, from day one, I had, like, turned to Caitlin, who's our remount director, and I was like, oh, damn. It was just very, very moving and impressive. And How does it be in a room with them? Oh my God, it's the best thing in my life. I don't like writing. I don't like writing by myself in a room. I don't like being by myself in a room, period. And so the part about the pandemic that like remained was me being alone in a room, having to write. And I missed desperately being with like these beautiful artists. And so I felt like I was like, oh, this is a return to life for me to be able to be in the room specifically with those people as well, because it was just such a wonderful group of people.
I'll echo that, having seen the play before the shutdown last year, and then having been able to have the good fortune to come back and see it on opening night. It did feel deeper, it did feel richer. And I don't know if that was just because of the experience we, you know, had over the last year and a half, and the, or just because it resonated and hit in like a really different and deeper way for the people who were, you know, living it. So I've always been very, you know, I feel like, you know, Martina and I are these, we're kind of like playwriting sisters in terms of, you know, the groups of people and the stories that we're trying to uplift, you know, in our work. And so I was really, really moved by it, even more so the second time around because of, yeah, maybe just because of how deep it had been sitting in them for so long.
Yeah. And Jocelyn, you haven't been in the room with actors, with the actors yet who were working on Nollywood Dreams with, but you were working, you did work on Merry Wives and like have been back in the rehearsal process. What has it been like to get back to, you know, using those muscles?
Odd, mostly odd, you know, because it's just a completely different kind of way of working now. You know, there's so much about theater that's very like open, loving, you know, we all been to, you know, drama school where you just roll around on the floor and always touch each other and hug and all of that. And it was, we couldn't really do any of that when we walked into the, especially at that, it was a very precarious time, you know, when we started rehearsals, it was only in May, where there was still people who were in the middle of their vaccination courses or people still deciding whether they were going to get vaccinated. So it was like, you know, to be masked an entire rehearsal was just odd, because I actually couldn't even understand if the comedy was working because I couldn't even still see people's full faces. Like it was just, even that kind of stuff was just odd. But at the same time, it was also, you know, kind of uplifting to be able to work on something really fun, you know, and joyous, and that folks were able to, you know, return back to the thing that they really all really loved doing. And then it also had its own challenges, but we like really were persevering through it all, through injuries, through, you know, a COVID case, through inclement weather, through a hurricane, two hurricanes. Like it was truly like a little engine that could. And sometimes I was like, maybe the engine just needs to stop. Like, let's just stop it for a second. Let's just stop, you know? So it was wild. It was wild. And we just closed the show on Monday. So I feel really steeled for whatever my theatrical experiences will be now moving forward. So I'm really grateful for that experience. It was really amazing.
Yeah. And what's next for you both? Jocelyn, obviously you're about to head into rehearsals. What else is going on that we should know about?
Yeah. So right after we opened Merry Wives, Saheem and I, and also my other collaborator, Michael Thurber, went into a month-long workshop of our new musical, Goddess, which is going to happen at Berkeley Rep next year. And it's a big, big, big project. It's my third musical that I've written, but it's the first one that's ever, I don't know, made it off of a music stand. So it's a very thrilling time. So to be able to build the show with choreography and everything, that was like pretty exciting. So it was a big weekend this past weekend because we did our presentations, we did our backers audition and closed Merry Wives all in the same 3 days. So, apparently I still like to keep myself overwhelmed, even in the middle of a pandemic. so those are the two big projects. coming up in the next few months. And really excited about them.
Yeah, great. And Martina, what about for you?
Also musicals, the two musicals, one as The Gatsby, one going back and forth to London. And another one, it's the memoir of the book of Girl Interrupted. Film rewrite, pilot rewrite. And you know what? Maybe I'm going to see if I can make Sanctuary City into a series. But maybe we'll see. Yeah. I don't know. I might give it a try. I think it might, maybe it's just I want to be with those actors for longer.
Would that idea have occurred to you in 2020, do you think?
It happened during 2020.
I think it did.
During the pandemic of it all, I think after we'd shut down, I'd been, you know, watching the thing that is this good television. I was like, oh, actually, maybe there is space for this story, and I can expand, you know, expand on other people's stories within that. That felt like an exciting opportunity. So maybe, who knows? You know, say right now this podcast, and maybe I won't ever do it. It feels exciting to me right now to kind of try that and bring it to more people.
Yeah. Well, before the TV show hits screens, people can see the play at the Lucia Lortel, and Jocelyn's show, Nollywood Dreams, will be starting previews next month. So thank you both. Thanks so much for being here with me and talking us through that.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
That was Jocelyn Bio and Martina Myoke. Myoke's play Sanctuary City is now running at Off-Broadway's Lucille Lortel Theater, and Bio's Nollywood Dreams starts previews October 21st at the MCC Theater Space. If you like what you're hearing on this and other episodes of Stagecraft, I'd really appreciate it if you took the time to rate and review us wherever you listen to podcasts. It really helps us grow our audience of folks who love theater as much as you and I do. Or tell a friend about Stagecraft. Find past episodes or subscribe on all the pod places, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and on the Broadway Podcast Network, which is a great place to find more theater for your ears. I'll be back in 2 weeks with another new episode. Until then, find me on Twitter at @gcoxvariety. Thanks for listening, and see you soon.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.